This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2019, held at Faith Builders from July 29 through August 2.
Profitable discussions. Never undermine their authority. Never say that rod and staff stands for rotten stuff, as one teacher did. Number one, that's not true. We use a lot of rod and staff, and that's absolutely unacceptable in every way. Never undermine the authority and the decisions that they have made, the curriculum to use, or decisions that they made about you can do this, you can't do that. So you wanted to do something, the students knew it, you asked the board, they said no, and come back and respectfully tell them that, you know what, we were going to do this, I asked some advice, and you know what, they had reasons for what they said, and so we actually won't be doing that. And you know what, it's okay, there's other things we can do. Never in any way say, well, I think that was stupid, or I can't believe we're not allowed to go here or do that or sing this song. That's happened in schools where the board came in and, no, we don't like that piece of music, or we don't like that, and the teacher had to navigate his way through it. It's a song they were already singing. They were going to sing it for the program. Be so careful in those moments to just respectfully, hey, I know we wanted to sing it. Of course I'm disappointed. Don't be intellectually dishonest. They know if you're dishonest. But you can navigate your way through being honest that, of course, I like the song or I wouldn't have picked it, right? And I'm disappointed, but you know what? We're just going to accept what was said, just like you need to accept when I say things, I need to accept when they say things that I'm disappointed with. It's okay. So we'll find another song, and you move on. It's better to be honest in that way. The disappointment, they know it, but spin it in a way that they look at you and say, you are modeling how to work under authority in a respectful way when it's disappointing. Welcome their input. So they don't give any input? Well, ask for it. Make sure that the board knows you're happy when they come and visit. When they come, thank you for coming. Welcome their input. Anything you would like to see different? Because again, there are some school boards who, if you don't ask for that and welcome that, they probably won't say a whole lot. Other school boards do. So again, such a variety of schools here. Well, let's move on. With your patrons. Of course, we looked at some of this with fulfilling the expectation. Cultivate open relationships. So it's going week after week, month after month, and there's no conversation with the parents. You need to pursue this conversation with the parents. Of course, if you're teaching in a church school, where all your students come from the same congregation, that makes at least more opportunity to talk about school and just general relationships because you see them. But I would teach some students who I do not see the parents except at meetings or go to their house ever because we simply go to two different churches or they might live, you know, a little distance away. You need to actively pursue, how can I cultivate relationships? Be accessible after church. Young people, rather than just outside with your friends, be accessible, be available after church. Try to talk to the adults if you go to the same church. Just keep that door open. Maybe you need to be the one that asks the question, so they won't ask, how's my child doing? Maybe you need to ask, hey, I really enjoy having your child. Just curious, how does school seem to be going? What's the homework load like? Again, some of you have interviews and this is all covered, but some of you probably don't have interviews with your patrons. And just open that door and make sure that you're available to talk. And if they don't talk to you, you talk to them. Really encourage you to do that. Because did you know, teachers? I mean, you are a little intimidating to the parents. And they don't really know what you're going to say if they say, so how's my child doing? They're not sure they really want to hear, maybe, especially if there's other people listening. But if you approach the subject and you want to hear how school's going from their perspective, and then it can open the door to, well, you know, there's some things here I'd like to that I would mention that I think could be worked on. But if you open the door in the positive way, how's school going? What's happening? Give some positive feedback, and then the door might open to share what you need to share. Affirm the positive in their child. Again, this kind of comes back to this thing. Parents are proud of their children, or at least they want to be proud of their children. and are extremely sensitive to any little thing that wasn't quite positive. Well, affirm the positive in them. Affirm what you do appreciate about the child, the times they do cooperate and they do their work well. I mean, hopefully at least sometimes they do something right, right? This is part of the problem. Children who do pretty many things wrong after a while feels like they do everything wrong. Well, take time to think, what can you say positive? Parents want to hear that. And when you can create that context of some positive, and they can sense that you care about their child, and you're not just so anxious to dump out everything they do wrong, because you show you love and accept their child, you see the positive, it opens a door to their hearts to listen. Because they know already that there's some problems, if there indeed are significant problems. Be sensitive to their perspective. Maybe go back to a little bit the academic teacher, and it feels maybe like I'm picking on them. But the academic teacher, that's their thing. They like study. They like lots of homework. They have lots of memory. And the parent's perspective is, my child's just drowning in all of this. They didn't have this workload last year. Or they can't seem to catch up. They struggle. Be sensitive to their perspective. Listen, they know the child a lot better than you do. And yes, it might be a helicopter parent. It might be a parent who seems to just really pamper their child. I realize that. And that can be frustrating. But be sensitive to their perspective. They know the child. And if the child's coming home crying, believe me, folks, this happens. The child comes home crying. The day was tough. They have homework. They tried at the end of the day. Oh, no, they didn't try. Well, from the child's perspective, they did try. And then the parents, of course, think they probably did. And they're emotionally upset. They're up at 10 o'clock doing homework or the Bible memory. Be sensitive to their perspective. I would rather err on the side of keeping the parents with me and being a little, let the child slide on some things than just hold that tough line because, boy, I don't budge, you know? And have parents frustrated and the child frustrated. Again, there's limits on everything here. But I hope you hear me say that. I would rather err on the side of sensitivity to the parents and especially to the emotional weaknesses of students than to try to be this tough teacher who's known to be tough. You want to be known to be fair, but remember, fairness and sameness are not the same word. Went over that before. We want to be fair. We want to be predictable. We hold our lines, but we want to be sensitive. With your co-teachers. This can be stressful right here. Can it not be? I'm not asking for any raise of hands, but most of you have at least one co-teacher. Maybe a few of you are the only teacher in the school. Some of you teach with a number of teachers. This is extremely important. If you come to school every day with bad relationships with your co-teachers, it's tough from the get-go, isn't it? And I'd be surprised if not at least some of you to most of you who've taught any amount of time would say, this is challenging because you're working pretty closely day after day. Get to know each other. Don't be a teacher, and now, I'll try to create some edges to what I'm saying. If there's a number of people in your faculty, don't be the kind of teacher that after school, the door is closed, you're doing your work. I know you're busy, but try to get to know each other. I find that that half an hour after school, and there's 12 of us on the faculty, so of course, this is way too easy to do. Spend more than a half an hour after school just talking and just enjoying being together. And I'm not the only man teacher, so that also helps as well, that it doesn't feel awkward for me to be there talking to a bunch of ladies. There's three men, and of course, the rest are ladies. But it's easy to do this in our situation, and I know that that's not the same in everybody's. But try to get to know each other. You just hear each other, know each other on a more of a personal level. It takes time. I'm not sure what to say about this one. Cover for each other. That sounds like a strange thought, maybe. But here's what I want you to think about. Students, as they move from teacher to teacher, they don't forget how it was the previous year. Some students remember the good and forget the bad. Others, because of the relationship with the teacher, that's a lot of negative. And maybe you are just the savior of their life, right? I mean, you're just the best teacher. That really feels good, doesn't it? Get that little note, you're the best teacher I ever had. Oh. And so they might say some things like, last year the teacher this and that. Cover for the teachers. What does that mean? I don't really know, other than don't play into that. Never, never say, well, yes, I know she was really strict. Or I know last year, but you know, teachers have weaknesses. People need to cover for my weaknesses in school. And I appreciate when I make a mistake and the student complains to another teacher or to their parents that they, not again, dishonest, but they cushion it. And it's okay to say, well, you know what? She probably wasn't a perfect teacher. Am I? No. Were you a perfect student? Guess not. Well, now you weren't. Okay, we all make mistakes. Your teacher probably did make some mistakes. I've had to tell my children this many times, and I'm just going to tell you, teachers, I hope you're okay with parents who don't always cover for you in every way. I mean, there's some parents who say, I don't care what happens at school, the teacher's right. Well, thank you, parent, but that's not true. I do not want my parents to do that. I mean, I appreciate the heart, but I don't want them to do that. I really don't. I have already had to tell my children. I'm trying to think if some of my co-teachers have taught my children or not. I guess it doesn't matter. And they gave a big story, and I might say, you know what? I don't know what really happened, but your teacher might have made a mistake. That's just how it is. I make mistakes as a teacher. You make mistakes. You want forgiveness and grace. I want forgiveness and grace. Give your teacher forgiveness and grace. They might have made a mistake. So it's okay to be honest that, hey, maybe something wasn't quite right. But you know what? It wasn't your problem. You didn't create the problem. You need to deal in a Christian, calm way and not complain to the other students and move on. And I think in working with our students sometimes, just being honest. Of course, as administrator, I've had to do this more times in working with issues in the school and students complaining, rarely, but at times about something the teacher did that actually was a poor judgment call of the teacher. They did do something that wasn't the best thing. And to just say, well, you know what? It could have been handled differently, I suppose. I can acknowledge that. But guess what? Here's where we are. We work together as a team and move on. So we cover for each other, but don't be dishonest. Support during difficult times. This has been so meaningful to me. I can remember sitting with, this was quite a few years ago, and the two men teachers that I worked with, we met, I think we met every morning maybe for a week or so, and we sat in the desk of our students and we just prayed for them because I was struggling with my students and some attitudes. These were big boys, and there was just some things that just didn't feel right. And to me, that burdens me down really quickly. If there's a group of students who are not cooperating and there seems to be a kind of a click and whispering going on and it just feels bad. I can hardly teach under that. It just bothers me. And they just said, well, we'll come in and pray together. And that was such a blessing. I remember that even though it was probably at least 10, 12 years ago. Just coming in, sitting down, praying. They could pray for me. I could hear that. We could pray for the students. Support during difficult times. Drop the teacher a note. Of course, it has always to be appropriate, fellas. When you drop a note on a girl's desk, maybe you shouldn't do it that way. Maybe better to just walk past the door and say, wow, I know it's going rough. I'm praying for you today. And move on. So we'll look at that in a minute here. But support during difficult times. You know the teacher's struggling. Ask about it. How did it go today with this student? Is it going better? I saw how you handled that. You did a good job. You know, you're making progress. Keep your head up. You know, we're in this together. And we can soon sense when a teacher feels like they're hardly pulling it and emotionally stressed. Yes, use discretion. I guess I look now at my age, and I do wonder, how this really works. And believe me, I'm not saying this in a negative, I'm saying this as a huge caution. If you are in a school situation where it's one single young man and one single young lady, be so careful, especially the men. Be so careful. Yes, I look back at this list now, get to know each other, support during difficult times, and this all takes on a different look. It really does. I taught 1 year that way in a small school where I taught 8 years, but the first year I taught there, I was not married and taught with a single young lady. I was dating, so that was a positive thing, I suppose. And I do not look back with any particular regrets or negatives as such, but I can connect a little bit with, you know, planning things together. It's just you two. And what are you going to do for recess? Problems. You know, I was principal, so I, of course, was involved in what's going on in her room. How do you talk about all this that's comfortable? Well, make sure there's plenty of physical space, fellas. It's little things. Keep the doors open. Don't go into the classroom, her classroom, and close the door. Leave the doors open. I try to still do this carefully as I work with our faculty. Make sure the doors are open. Sit at a desk, back one, or off to the side sufficiently, or it just creates an open feeling of nothing inappropriate in any way or feel kind of trapped. Use discretion. I really want to caution you men, as you relate to your students as well, of course, but also your school, your co-teachers. Handle concerns carefully. I think we kind of covered some of that, concerns about the other co-teacher. Concerns that students have, but concerns about a co-teacher. This becomes difficult. And here's what I want to just emphasize under this point. There is a place in most schools, a sense of a flow chart of responsibility. So you notice a weakness in a co-teacher. It's not working. Maybe you're an experienced teacher. It's a young teacher, but you're not their authority. You're not considered their mentor as such. Some schools would have more of that. Others don't. So I'm kind of just throwing some things out. When you do not feel you're in a good position or have a relationship that's going to work to share the concern, hopefully you have a place to share it, but be careful. Share it with the principal, an administrator. You don't have one or you're the administrator, share it with the board or the board chairman. Think of a flow chart. I think this is so important. And a lot of schools really don't talk about this very much. There must be a place for you to go with your concerns. Maybe they're valid, maybe they're really not that valid, but it gets it off your mind rather than day after day feeling like this class is being destroyed by how this teacher's handling things. If you have a place to go to share that, but don't share it with parents. Don't share it with other teachers. Now, again, sometimes some things are, I'm sure, are shared. Be so careful. You realize how quickly distrust can spread throughout a faculty, and it's kind of these against these, and after a while, there's just a sensitivity, and oh, we act nice and laugh, but something's not quite right because, you know, there's a little bit kind of going on here, a little complaining about this teacher, and it's very hard to reverse that damage. Avoid negative competition. I don't really have time to talk about that. I think you can figure that one out yourself. Let's move on with students. Remember that respect goes both ways. I have many embarrassing stories of my teaching career. One goes back precisely 30 years. And I ask my dear student, Sharon, why are you crying, Sharon? A fifth grade girl. She's there just, it is. Trying to be brave, but it wasn't working. Well, she's not going to tell me why she's crying. I said, no, it's okay. Just tell me, why are you crying? And she kind of got up, and then she sat down again. Oh, she just couldn't tell me. Well, I can't sit there with a crying student. I mean, I want to know what's going on. I thought I wanted to know what's going on. And she finally kind of leaned front, and I leaned front, and she said, you were mocking Kevin. Oh, I was mocking Kevin. I mean, I just kind of back up front. Yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Fifth grade pathway readers. You know what I'm talking about? The vocabulary book, is it orange? It is. I got the right thing here, I think. It's a great book. I'm not mocking it whatsoever. I love the book. I'm just thinking about this book. It seems to me there's a 1 to 20 vocabulary first, and then there's 1 to 10, like maybe 4 or 5, and then on the next page is 4 or 5. Well, Kevin had just indiscriminately wrote vocabulary words in. Of course, ridiculous, right? You take the vocabulary word and you put it in the sentence. Well, of course, you're supposed to read the sentence and find the word that fits. This was Kevin, all right? Typical Kevin, and I had enough of Kevin. He just filled them in. He was efficient. And I took his book. It's embarrassing to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. I read some of his answers up front. I thought it was funny. I didn't really think it was funny. I thought it would help. You know, it's like, Kevin, I mean, really, you know better than this. And I had about, 16, 17 fifth graders that year. And I read the sentence, put in his word. Of course, it made no sense. A sense of justice went through that classroom. They didn't care that Kevin was being irresponsible and lazy. They stood up for him, not me. Because they knew I crossed a line of respect as little fifth graders. And I don't remember if I apologized on the moment or later. I know I apologized. And I'm just telling you, apologize when you make mistakes. You should apologize easily. You really should. And if you can't, you better learn to, because you will need to apologize. And I just remember standing up front, and I don't really remember exactly what I said other than, I'm sorry. That was wrong for me to do that. Will you forgive me, Kevin? I was wrong. Of course he would forgive me. Thank you. I shouldn't have done that. I want to be respectful to you. And so, teachers, respect your students. And I've seen teachers grapple with this through the years. There's maybe a sense of mockery, or they can't play very well, or they're not good in sports, or just kind of like, you know, just a little bit of chuckle back to the student. I'll tell you what, they will gang up against you, just like siblings gang up, right? I mean, there might be a brother and sister that don't get along real well, but you pick on one of them, they're the best of friends in that moment. And there's a sense of that will happen among the students. And you will lose respect very, very quickly if you do not respect them. And I really don't think that teachers need to do a lot of talk about lack of respect. And if you need to do a lot of talk about, you're not respecting me, you need to respect me, I'm the teacher, there's another problem. And it might be your problem. Because I'm convinced that most students want to respect you as a teacher. And sometimes I'm afraid teachers go into a setting feeling like it's me against them. This is cat and mouse. I was a bunch of bad students. I heard all about you before I got here, or I watched you last year. And, you know, I think most students, by far most students, sit there and think, I wish I could have a good relationship with you. I want to respect you. Who wants miserable days of school? Nobody. They want a good relationship, and it really starts with you. Now, does every student respond properly? No. Do most? I think I can say yes. Most do. If it's not going well, the respect level's low, something's wrong, spend some time thinking about, what am I possibly doing wrong? Am I positive? Am I cheerful? Am I even-handed? Am I respectful? Do I care about each student? Am I doing something that's offensive, even in the smallest way that they're responding to? And then I respond to that. And I know sometimes we have to just be upfront. And I like to tell my students once in a while, especially last year, seventh graders, say, listen, I don't like this. Something's wrong. It feels like a cat and mouse game. And if I have to be the cat, I'll be the cat. But I don't like this. Y'all want it this game? Cat, mouse, I'm trying to trap you, pop around corners, see what you're doing. Okay, then quit it. I mean, I've taught long enough I can say that sometimes. and I'm not even close to their age. Okay, so stop the restlessness, the whispering. I keep calling you down. I just want you to stop because it puts me under pressure and I can't be myself. And I want to be myself because I love teaching school and I want to just teach and enjoy being together. But when this kind of stuff is going on and restlessness and whispering, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. And then it gets worse and worse. So can we all agree? We're going to hit the reset button. I'm going to just try to kind of start over again. And I want to be the best teacher I can be for you and be engaging and teach my classes, make it enjoyable. But you got to do your part so I can do my thing too. And I think some of those conversations just kind of clears the air and all right, here we go. Ready? You move on. We can do that sometimes. But spend some time thinking, what might I be contributing as a teacher to the problem? Seek to know and understand them. Especially if you don't know the students. Ask questions. I think I mentioned the other day, eat with them, play with them, flow with them as much as you can. They're walking in and out from playing a game. Walk with them. Why walk behind them? Walk with them. Hear the chatter. Find out what their interests are. They have a life at home. They might have dogs, cats, cows. They might be farmers. They might have hobbies. They might be into scrapbooking, on and on. And I find it a little harder to tap into the life of the interests of the ladies because, you know, they eat by themselves. But I like to be close enough that I sometimes can contribute to their conversation or hear a little bit what they're saying, especially if we're in the same room. But I try to always eat with the boys and sit in the same circle. I learn a lot. And they like it. We have lots of fun talking. And sometimes I'm just listening to their conversation.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.